I love that. Did you guys like that? I love that. I thought that was amazing. Because it really does tell an amazing story. And that's what we're up here. That's what we're here to do, to celebrate an amazing story, the birth of the Son of God. Well, guys, I'm not going to speak long this morning because there's just not, this isn't the time for a lot of words. This is time for celebration. I just have five things that I want you guys to remember this Christmas. And I'm really glad that in the midst of all of the stuff we've created Christmas to be, that you've taken time to come and worship, because that's exactly what Christmas is about. Five things to remember this Christmas as you guys go to your homes and to visit the relatives, and as you decorate the tree and as you open presents and all the great stuff that happens at Christmas time. Five things to remember. The first thing is that Christmas is a time of worship. That's the first thing. Christmas is a time of worship. If you guys will look in Matthew 2:1-2, it says this: after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, those also known as the wise men, and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to give gifts to each other." No. "We saw his star in the east, and we've come to watch some great Christmas movies." No. "We saw his star in the east, and we've come to spend time with family and remember good times." No. It says this: "We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." That was the original thing, the first thing that happened at Christmas time. And in verse 11, it says this: "On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and exchanged gifts with each other." No, they bowed down and worshiped him. The very first thing that should happen at Christmas time is worship, okay? Because it is a time of worship. It is not a time of all the things that we've made it to be. It is a time of worship. And I'm really glad for our training win. Those of you guys that are new here, we basically boil a church down to four things. And the training win is the 101 and the 201 and the 301, 401 process. And Catalyst 201. If you haven't been to 201, you really need to do that. We spend a lot of time talking about what worship really is. See, most of us think that worship means singing, and that's a part of worship, but worship is so much more than that. And worship is kind of summed up in two statements. It's basically acknowledging everything that he is through everything that I am. That's a definition of worship. It's 100% of God through 100% of me. Not holding back anything. I'm not acknowledging 25% of God through two-thirds of myself. No, it's 100% of God, the 100% of me. That's what worship is. It's also a response to a move of God. The shepherds saw the star, and they responded. They went, and they worshiped. The Magi saw the star, and they responded by going and worshiping, okay? That's what worship is. It's a response to a move of God. And guys, if you remove worship from Christmas, hear me. If you remove worship from Christmas, you destroy Christmas. Christmas cannot exist without worship. I want to read you guys something. This is from a book called Hitler's Cross. And it said this: "Since Germans had for centuries celebrated Christmas and Easter, Hitler had to reinterpret their meaning. He knew he couldn't get rid of the two celebrations, so he simply changed them. Christmas was turned into a totally pagan festival. In fact, the date was changed to December 21st, which was the date of the winter solstice in Germany. Carols and nativity plays were banned from the schools in 1938, and even the name Christmas was changed to Yuletide. Crucifixes were eliminated from the classrooms, and Easter was turned into a holiday that heralded the arrival of spring rather than his resurrection from the dead. And that's a really good thing that that's not happening in America." In Times Square this year, atheists have conceded that Christmas will always be a part of American society. And so they put up a billboard not saying get rid of Christmas, trying to change it and remove the worship from Christmas. It simply says this: under a picture of Santa Claus, keep the Mary, and underneath the picture of Jesus, dump the myth. That's in Times Square right now. Trying to remove worship from Christmas. And if you remove worship from Christmas, then Christmas is done. Don't ever forget that Christmas, first and foremost, is a time of worship. Now, I'm not saying that anyone in here would dump the myth, dump Jesus. But how much of our time is truly spent worshiping when we gather around the Christmas tree? Christmas is a time of worship. It always will be, always has to be. You cannot separate worship from Christmas. The second thing is that I want you to remember, and this really hit me this year, that Christmas is not your birthday. Christmas is not your birthday, okay? One of my favorite pastors, a guy named Louis Giglio, put a 5-word tweet out on Twitter, and it just said, Christmas is not your birthday. So I stole it from him. I'm a plagiarist, but I'm giving credit, okay? All right? Christmas is not your birthday. Matthew 2:11 says this, on coming to the house, they saw the child with their mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. Now, I want to ask you a question. What kind of jerks would show up at your Christmas party, your birthday party, and give gifts to each other? What if I invited all of you all over to my house for my birthday on May 16th? I'm going to be 39 years old, okay? Invited all you guys over to my birthday, and hey, we're going to have a great time. We're going to have a great time with, we're going to get together with friends and family. We're going to have good food, and you guys show up with gifts, and you give them to each other, and you celebrate. And I'm going to be like, hey, birthday boy's right here. Come on, Hey, a little love this way, And I started thinking about that. The first Christmas, you guys, gifts were given to Jesus. And this Christmas, gifts will be given to everyone but Jesus. Remember that Christmas is not your birthday. As a matter of fact, if you were to look at the way you celebrate Christmas and the way you celebrate your birthday, is there really any difference between the two? You get together with friends and family. You get gifts. Isn't that pretty much the way we celebrate Christmas these days? And as I was thinking about this, that the worship song, one of my favorite all-time worship songs, was a song by Matt Redman. Came out probably 10, 11 years ago. It's called The Heart of Worship. And the chorus says this, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. And I started thinking to myself, if I replace the word worship with Christmas, that would say it perfectly. I'm coming back to the heart of Christmas, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. How many of us in our families this Christmas season maybe need to go home and spend some time in joyful repentance? Joyful repentance? Yes, joyful repentance. That we've been doing this all wrong, all along, and we found something better, and we turn away from Christmas being our birthday to being a celebration of Jesus' birthday. Joyful repentance. Maybe we all just sing that song. I'm coming back to the heart of Christmas. It's all about you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing my family's made it. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing my culture has made it, when it's all about you. Remember, guys, first things, Christmas is a time of worship. Second, that Christmas is not your birthday. Make sure you're giving gifts to the birthday boy. Number three is this. Christmas makes no sense without Easter. You cannot separate Christmas and Easter. Matthew 1:21, before Jesus was even born, the angel says this to Mary. She will give birth to a son. It says this to Joseph. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. Now, how did Jesus save us from our sins? He died. So in other words, Jesus is going to be born because he's going to die. He is being born specifically for the purpose of saving people from their sins. He is being born specifically for the purpose of dying on a cross. That's exactly why Christmas happened. You can't separate Christmas and Easter, okay? Last week, guys, it's kind of a somber service, you know? The Connecticut shootings that just happened. And my heart hurts for those families right now. Still does, and it still has affected me deeply. And from the feedback that we got this week, it affected a lot of you deeply too. And I read on the news this week that the town where Sandy Hook Elementary is has taken down their Christmas lights. They turn them off in honor of the victim. They've taken down the Christmas decorations in the town because they said it's just not appropriate to celebrate Christmas in light of such tragedy. And when I read that, I almost shouted at my computer. I said, no, this is the time where Christmas celebration is the most important. This is when celebrating Christmas, this is when it's crucial. Because, guys, in light of the tragedies that we experience, Christmas becomes real. Christmas was God's answer to things like Sandy Hook Elementary. He's saying, I'm taking the sins of this world away. The world that you're living in is so evil and so sin-filled. And Christmas is my answer to all of that right now in light of tragedy. In light of tragedy, this is when Christmas makes the most sense. It's the only time it makes sense. When you look at it in light of Easter, the conquering of sin, the giving of new life. And that's what is going on. But guys, if we've made it into a celebration of your birthday, practically, maybe a time of receiving gifts and getting together with family, then yeah, it's totally inappropriate to celebrate Christmas in light of Sandy Hook shootings. But if we look at Christmas as a time where the Son of God was born to take the sins of the people away, then right now in light of the Sandy Hook shootings, it's the most relevant time ever. Christmas was God's answer to the Connecticut shootings. That was his answer. The birth of Jesus and the removal of sin. This is the time when Christmas makes the most sense. But you can't separate Christmas and Easter. And number four, Christmas was and is for everyone. Okay? This is something I want you to remember at Christmas time. That Christmas was and is for everyone. In Luke chapter 2, 8 through 11, says this, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Missionary Don Richardson spent his time in a tribe in, I believe it was in New Guinea. And the tribe that he was sent to, things were upside down. Deceit was the greatest virtue in their camp. They prided themselves on who could tell the most convincing lie, who could stab their neighbor in the back the best, who could get away with the most. Deceit was the virtue above all things. And Don Richardson tried to teach them about Jesus. He tried to get the gospel across to them. But the only part of the gospel they liked was Judas, because they saw him as the best. He was able to infiltrate and basically betray Jesus. That was their favorite character, was Judas. And he spent months and months trying to teach them about Christ. He got nowhere. Finally, he threw up his hands and said, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to go home. This has been a failure. The tribe who loved John Richardson begged him to stay. They tried to get him to stay. He was about to leave. Well, in a last-ditch effort, the tribal chief took his infant son, staged an elaborate ritual. They invited a tribe that they had been at war with. And they all gathered around, and the chief took his newborn son and handed it to the chief of the other tribe. This was known as a peace child. And the agreement between the two tribes was as long as that child lived, there would be no war between the two tribes. And all of a sudden, the light went off in Don Richardson's mind. He said, this is the gospel. And he went back to the tribe and he said, all right, let me tell you about what you already know. When someone gives their own child to a warring tribe, there's peace between the two. He said that's what Jesus was. That was what happened at Christmas. God and humanity were separated, and God sent his own son, the peace child, so that there would be no war, no more disconnect between God and people. Christmas was for people that didn't want anything to do with God. That's who Christmas is for. Christmas is for everyone. God doesn't want anyone to perish, the Bible says, but all to come to repentance. And he did that by giving his son at Christmas time. Christmas is for everyone. However, a gift only becomes a gift when it's received. If I was to take out this phone and say, this is my gift to you, when would it become a gift? When I offer it or when you reach out and take it? Reach out and take it. And that's the thing, it's the exact same thing. The gift of Jesus only becomes a gift when we reach out and take it. Christmas was and is for everyone. It was God's statement to the world that I don't want there to be strife between us anymore. This is my peace child that I give to you so that we can be together and no longer at war. And the fifth thing I want you to remember is that Christmas is a time of great joy. Christmas is a time of great joy. I was watching Christmas Vacation the other day, and Ellen says something. She says, you know, the daughter's complaining about having to sleep, you know, in the room with her brother and everything like that. And Ellen says, well, what can I say? It just that it's Christmas and we're all miserable. You know, that's one of the best lines in the movie. And that's what a lot of it is. But Luke chapter 2:10 says this, the angel said to them, don't be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. There was unfortunately, right now, Christmas is not a time of joy for a lot of people. I read a very, very heartbreaking story about this. Lindsay, a man named Lindsay, his father, a distant and severe man, worked him especially hard during the holidays. Lindsay was given extra chores at the family ranch, and his old man beat him if he didn't work hard enough. Lindsay lived in fear of these beatings, which often drew blood, but even worse than were the verbal floggings, the names, the insults, the belittling put-downs he endured from his father. They seemed especially harsh at Christmas time. The memory stayed with him all his life, tormenting him like demons every December. One friend said Lindsay was never able to find happiness. He became a hard-drinking hellraiser who went from woman to woman and couldn't find a peace or success. Finally, at age 51, he angrily watched Bing Crosby's White Christmas one last time, put a gun to his head and a bullet through his brain. I hated Christmas because of Pop, and I always will, he once said. It brings back the pain and fear I suffered as a child, and if I ever do myself in, it will be at Christmas time. That will show the world what I think of Bing Crosby's White Christmas. Sadly, Lindsay was Bing Crosby's son, Lindsay Crosby. This story is in itself a parable of what happens when we forget the joy at Christmas time. If only Lindsay had truly understood that Jesus Christ was born on Christmas Day, so that our sins, though they be as scarlet, would become white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they should be like wool, from Isaiah 1:18. There are so many people right now that don't experience joy at Christmas time. Christmas is for people that are hurting. Christmas is a time of great joy where you can lay your life, your burdens, your worries, your cares at the foot of the cross and realize that Jesus has taken them all and you can therefore be joyful. Christmas is a time of great joy. So five things I want you guys to remember at Christmas time is that Christmas is a time of worship. It's not your birthday. Christmas makes no sense without Easter. Christmas is truly for everyone, and Christmas is a time of great joy. And that's why we're here. Because what Christmas truly is something so unbelievably amazing and joyful that you and I cannot even fathom it. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it when it's all about you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for Christmas. I want to thank you for the wonderful time that it is and the joy that goes along with it. And Lord, I...